Do you want to tell people any Twitter links, any website links straight away?
Yes, Tony Paul Way on Twitter, all one word. And www.tonyway.co.uk is where you can find me.
So how have you been then since I last saw you then?
Very good, very busy. I've had a lot of work on. So I've been sort of out of the country for the last month or so, in Croatia filming at Dubrovnik, which has been amazing fun. Lots of good sunshine, and I can't really talk too much about what it was, but people will probably be able to work it out via what I've been in before, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, totally. Are you involved in any way with the Vic and Bob sitcom?
I'm not actually, no. There was talk of it a while ago. I mean, they haven't filmed it yet, so never know. But I've seen the pilot, and it's excellent. It's really, really good. Matt Berry's excellent in it, as is Dan Skinner. It's really good. And Vic and Bob are brilliant in it. It's proper old Vic and Bob, but it's a weirdly traditional sitcom. Nice. But that's what they always have done, actually. Quite traditional sort of setup, but then them in it is the weird and strange thing. But very funny. Really, really good, I thought.
I always wish that the Weekenders had got a series back in the day.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I can see... I really loved Weekenders, but I can see why it didn't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It almost worked. I think I sort of wish they'd made a film of Weekenders and like a full hour and a half. I mean, they still could, I suppose. I think if they did make a film, it would be along those lines, wouldn't it?
Yeah, totally. I would enjoy that. That'd be pretty interesting. But yeah, so the basic concept of this podcast, which I told you pretty about half an hour ago, but, in terms of from history and now and all that, which celebrities, people who have done something worthwhile, well, who would you like to have round your house? So the six, who the first person you'd like to have round then?
Right. Well, I've got about 12. I just quickly wrote down. So these are literally off the top of my head. I don't know. Now, I've genuinely thought of doing a joke one and just inviting all of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Right.
But I think there's actually too many of them. I think there's like 9 main members and hundreds of affiliates. So I'm going to invite, I guess, the old Dirty Bastard from the Wu-Tang Clan, because he's the one, only one that's dead. And to represent all of the Wu-Tang Clan, because I've always been really interested in them. I've always thought they're interesting. You know, they sort of... for a while there, they were probably the biggest act in the world, but they've sort of been forgotten about. No one really talks about them anymore. They sort of just sort of disappeared. But when you think how huge they were and how influential they were in rap, not that I'm a huge hip hop fan, but I always just quite like I like their sort of the kung fu stuff and just the weird. They were so weird for a hip hop group. You don't really see that anymore. You don't really see that. So that's, I'm going to have the old Dirty Bastard.
It's nice to chat to a dead person as well, obviously.
Exactly, yeah. And I thought, I could have had one of the, they were the RZA or the GZA, who are the leaders, but they're alive. So that's sort of wasting the opportunity to resurrect someone. So him. And I also think he'd be quite good fun. But I'd keep him away from the booze. I'd sort of wouldn't let him get too drunk, because I think it could be a nightmare.
That's the problem, you see. Some of these lineups people have put together, I think there's going to be friction, and there's always someone who's going to cause a bit of bother. You know?
Exactly. But you know, that's, I mean, it's my one chance to have all of these people together, so I might as well go for it. You might notice that a few of my selections are a bit like that. They could go either way.
So who's your number two then?
Right, I'm going to have to pick from my little list here. I would always wanted to meet Glenn A. Larson, who is he's sort of a hero of mine, because he sort of made every television program I watched when I was a kid. He made Battlestar Galactica, he made The A-Team, Knight Rider, I mean, he made everything. going right back to Alias, Smith and Jones and things like that, things that were repeated when I was a kid. And I've always, basically, I want to get a job before he's too old to keep making television. a few of my selections are about work, where I could get some more work from. But yeah, I'd always love to meet him. I'd love to know if he came up with the idea of having a little red light moving left and right in nearly every single show he's ever made. Yeah, I'd love to meet Glenn A. Larson. I think it might be a bit disappointing, but
that's always the problem, isn't it? Is he still functional in the bout? Is he?
Yes, he is. I think he's in his very late 70s now, if not early 80s. He's still on the later, the more modern version of Battlestar Galactica. He's down as a exec or like a consulting producer or something.
Right.
I think it means he basically just gets a paycheck because he created it.
Which happens a lot, doesn't it? You know. But when you said there, he's in the late 70s, 80s, I was actually thinking that he's stuck there.
Well, that's sort of true, I guess. He's definitely stuck somewhere in 1983, probably.
It's like Ashes to Ashes or something. He's just stuck there.
Just making television of that time continuing. But he did make some amazing stuff. I think he made Fall Guy. Every one of those big sort of high concept TV shows through the 80s that I watched, he had a hand in somehow. And the original Battlestar Galactica I was obsessed with when I was a kid, and the 80 for that matter. Him, and I'd like to meet him. And I've got a whole feeling he might have some weird, I don't think he has, but for some reason a lot of these old producers seem to be a bit right wing religiously, and maybe that might be a bit tricky, but I'll stick him up the end with the ODB and they'll keep each other entertained. I'm sure by the end of the meal the old dirty bastard would have his own TV series where he's like a robot policeman or something from the hood, because I think Glenn A. Larson tried to make all of his friends and people he meet get him a TV show. So that's my number two.
Like a futuristic Randall and Hopkirk, couldn't it be, because he could be the dead one and then...
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe one of my other guests here could be the alive one. I don't know. But I could be the alive one. I'm in it for the work and the money. So me and the old dirty bastard, he's a dead hustler from the Bronx. And I'm just me. And we try and solve crimes.
All I'm saying is get it pitched. All right?
Yeah, that's it. I'm writing it down. I'm just going to make a little note.
Did you ever see the Knight Rider remake?
I did see some of it. I think it's been more than one remake, actually.
Right.
I was just working with Doug Liman on a film. Yeah. And he, I think, was the exec or the... he brought it back anyway, Knight Rider. He makes a lot of TV stuff, actually, Doug Liman. I think that's the big thing for these big director producers. The money is in making a successful TV series. So Doug Liman made The OC and things like that. And that just keeps them ticking along. Or J.J. Abrams, all of these people, Joss Whedon, they just sort of, I think they make far much more money from TV shows than they ever do from films.
Because the Knight Rider remake was on, I remember it was on Channel 5 here in the first episode, that the car went invisible. And I thought, that's quite an interesting concept, but the acting was a little bit ropey, but they could get away with that sort of ropey acting in the 80s. But now,
yes. Well, and you've got the man as well. You've got Hasselhoff doing it. He's made that his style, hasn't he, being a bit ropey, but in a brilliant way. It's sort of his thing.
He's made a career out of it. So.
Exactly, and he seems to embrace it.
So would you be cooking or would you be ordering something in?
Well, I think I'm quite a good cook, but I don't want to be in the kitchen the whole time at this meal with the fiery temperaments of my guests. I don't think they should be left alone with the booze for too long at the table. So I might cook the main course, order in, maybe get something simple. I think I've got a potential guest who could cook the pudding. In fact, I've brought this woman in as my guest just so she could make the pudding. That's Mary Berry from the Great
Space. Right, yeah.
Yes, I think she's very nice. I think should be a calming influence on the table. And, you know, I love cakes. So, in fact, she can cater the whole thing, if she doesn't mind.
But my brain instantly went to Nigella there, but maybe that's my mind.
You know? Yeah, Nigella, I mean, yeah, I like her and everything, but, you know, it's my evening, and I think Nigella would make it her evening very quickly. I'm not having that. This is my special evening. What's his name? Nigel Slater. Have you seen him? I find him deeply creepy. And I really don't like the way he always cooks for himself. And he always eats it alone, just sort of at the counter. And he sort of creeps into shops and around people's gardens and into their vegetable patches. And no one really seems to like him being there. But he says things like, oh, this is a really good supper for leftovers. You know, you've always got a few things left over at the end of the week. And this is what I do to cook those. So just bring out, and he brings up like a 50 pounds, as in money, piece of cheese, and like a load of fresh pancetta and a halibut and things like that. And you go, that's not leftovers. You're not living in the real world. You're living in a weird creep. It's all a bit masturbatory. Like I say, that he's cooking and he's eating makes me feel a bit sick. I don't like him.
So he's not going to be guest number four then?
No way. No, unless I can. There's also a thought with these guests where you just get people you don't like along to tell them you don't like them.
I reckon he would be in the garden while your party's going on, just hovering, you know.
Staring at our food, eating a lot. Yeah, I'm not sure about it. He's probably very nice, but I find him a little bit creepy.
Time. So who's your number four then?
Oh, right, so who have I got so far? I've got Larson, Old Dirty Bastard, and Mary Berry. Let me have a look here. Oh, the Queen.
Wow.
Because, I mean, this is my only chance, isn't it? It'd be sort of rude not to. I think at a dinner party in my flat, you get to see the real Queen. And, you know, I'm not going to have another chance to get to meet the Queen like that. So she's coming. She's coming along. And she can hang out with Mary Berry. I think they'd get on quite well.
They probably would, actually. I can't imagine her walk around with a onesie or tracksuit on, but...
No, exactly. I mean, I wonder what she does. It's a thought, isn't it? What does she sort of wear when she's relaxing? I've always been a bit... The idea of when you get rich or if you're posh, you have just loads of people hanging around you all the time. I suppose you get used to ignoring servants when you're that posh and that rich. But it would really freak me out if there were just people hanging around when I'm trying to relax watching the TV or, sitting in my pants or something. The idea that there's always someone around, I didn't like that idea.
So she had a minder at some point, or someone who's kind of, you know, like a driver or someone who's...
Drivers, kind of, but that's different. I mean, I've not had a driver that's my driver.
Personal one, yeah.
Yeah, you have it for a job sometimes, the same guy, but that's a bit different. That's sort of very much a job they do. They take you there, they wait. When they go off and do another job and they take you home. The idea that there's people just waiting there just in case you need something, or it would really freak me out. I get a bit weird. I have a cleaner once every couple of weeks who comes round. She's very good, but I can't stay in the house when she's here. It really freaks me out. I don't like people knocking about the place.
It can be slightly awkward, can't it? I've never had a cleaner, but I can imagine if you know, when you've got there, you're kind of lifting your feet up while you're kind of...
Exactly,
or something, you know.
But also, she gets to see how I live, which is late rising, not really doing any work, knocking about. I remember working as a painter and decorator with my dad years ago in another life. And it's awkward when the people that live in the place are still there. You can't really get on with it. You're all sort of, everyone's minding their P's and Q's a bit too much. And actually, you need to get on with your work. And they should probably go away for a little while. Yeah. But I'm going off having the Queen now. I don't know why, but I'm going to have her anyway. It was an odd choice. But I think you sort of have to go with the Queen, don't you?
Well, I think it's when you don't have that much access in the public domain to someone like that, you'd be quite intrigued to see what that... It's like Morrissey, you know, Morrissey... Morrissey's the equivalent of the Queen. Because you don't really know much about me. He's obsessed with kind of like anywhere he goes, kind of saying, I'm smelling meat, stop everything, everyone stop this. But apart from that, you don't really know, you know, you can't imagine saying, oh, I've really enjoyed this box set. What have you been watching, Morrissey?
Exactly, yeah, yeah. He must do that. He must, but I can't imagine it either. You're right. Yeah, and he's so obsessed with vegetarianism, it's sort of bizarre.
It's taking over his life and everyone just going, oh, the Smiths have got to reunite and stuff, and it's never going to happen.
Yeah, it's like when you have a friend, a sort of acquaintance, where you only know them for one thing. You know, like maybe you both work together on something, or you have a friend in common. You only really talk about that thing with them. And it ends up being a little bit annoying. Do you know what I mean? You end up, it's all you can talk about. For some reason, it becomes a sort of a mental block. I think that Morrissey's got that, where he talks about it so much, it's all he ever gets asked about now. So it's just always going to be him blurting out very weird quotes about comparing vegetarianism or meat eating to horrific acts around the world. So he's sort of, I think he's got himself in a vicious circle there of anti-meat, an anti-meat circle. You're going to keep going round and round. until Johnny Marr calls up and says, come on, let's do it.
Johnny Marr just seems to be just a normal bloke who just seems to be just getting on with things, and he does guest stuff with the Cribs and whatnot, and he just seems to be
He
just seems to get on with it, whereas Morrissey just seems to be like on another level completely, people.
Yeah, well, and also when Johnny Marr's interviewed about stuff, he talked about playing the guitar, the Smiths, writing songs, you know, stuff that he knows about, and he's going to have a form of a very strong opinion. No one's going to argue that Johnny Marr isn't an expert guitar player, guitarist, whereas Morrissey probably should stay out of some of the things he gets involved in.
Yeah, when he starts talking about national pride and all this palaver, and you think, well, you live in America, so...
Yes, exactly, yeah, and he's the hugest fan base in South America as well.
Yeah, which is random.
Yeah, very weird. They love him. They love him down there.
On a musical tip before we go to number five, who would your house band be then?
Ah, that's a very good. Yeah, okay. There's probably a couple. I love maybe something a bit easy to listen to. Something Ronnie Hazelhurst, maybe. Or if not, my standby is always Griff Rees from the Super Furry Animals. I think I've said that in nearly everything I've ever said. I do love his stuff. So because, I mean, I'd almost want him to be a guest. I wouldn't want him to feel that he has to entertain us. So no, not him. He's out of it. I want to meet him somewhere else. Ronnie Hazelhurst playing all of his TV themes would be really good fun, I think.
So, who would your fifth guest be then?
Right, now I need to start selecting. Fifth. How many have I got?
Six.
Oh, Christ. Peter Cook.
Not him.
Not Christ, no, he's always there. You can't get rid of him. Peter Cook, I think, I'd love to meet. Another dead one. I love Peter Cook. I think he's excellent. And I'd love to spend an evening listening to him being really witty and funny. Not bullying Peter Cook, though. Not drunken. Although that can be very funny, too. I want the sort of a bit tipsy Peter Cook. I'd like to see him with the Old Dirty Bastard as well. I think that would be a good combo.
Yeah, two Hellraisers together.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, I love Peter Cook. And I mean, it's all self-evident why. He was a genius and he started so many things. Comedy as we know it now still, I think, you know, everyone owes a lot to him. I'd love to hang out with Peter Cook.
Think you'll get on well with these guests then, you personally?
I think, yeah, that's a good point.
Just silence the rest of it. Everyone's just sitting there just ignoring you.
Yeah, they're all getting on with it. I think I'd get on all right with the Queen. I could be quite polite. Peter Cook might find me a bit of a bore. I think the Old Dirty Bastard would be happy to be fed and watered. So he'd be all right. Mary Berry's very polite. I think I'd get on all right with all of them. Actually, now I think about it, I don't want to hang out with any of these people. Can be very, you know what? I'm not a big fan of dinner parties. I don't really have them. I try and keep away from them. But it's very
real. It's a good sort of thing, sort of concept for this sort of thing, to have like six people, a reason for six people. Like, you know, I could have said, I could have called the podcast Wake Podcast, have right, six yes, people yeah. at a wake. But
right, I yeah, thought, Last Supper almost, sort of.
Yeah, you know.
Supper, you'd want all of your friends and family there, probably, wouldn't you? Just let them
you
know.
You wouldn't want some random people, no.
Yeah,
So who do you, your final choice be then?
Right, okay. Can I just list the ones that I've not done?
Yeah, sure.
But then tell you the choice. H.G. Wells, Diana Rigg, who I've actually met recently, and she's amazing. Carrie Fisher, I'd quite like to, but not her. I haven't chosen her. Vince Gilligan, Breaking Bad creator. Bill Paxton, who I have had been to dinner with a couple of times, and he's the best dinner guest ever, but not him. Bruce Forsyth, I don't know why it's on the list. I just wrote it down.
Time.
But my final guest I'd love to have is, I'm not sure if this is allowed, Gozer the Gozerian, the Lord of Cebulia, which is the end baddie from Ghostbusters. Because I think that would be the entertainment for the evening. I don't know if you remember the end of Ghostbusters.
I never thought that you would come out with that.
I think it would be an amazing thing. I loved that film, and I've always harboured a desire to be in that film at the end and meet the Gozerian. And I just want to meet someone that could turn into a big marshmallow person. So I quite like, and you know, it's better than just normal God, isn't it? A sort of weird evil God. So yeah, I think I'd quite like to meet Gozer the Gozerian, if that's okay. But that's a fictional character. Is that allowed?
Yeah, of course it is.
Yes,
because I think the Queen's going to get annoyed by him. So you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man basically is where I want to come along.
This is a really fucked up party. Jeez.
Well, you've got to go for it, haven't you? You've got to go out there. As I said, these were all compiled in about 5 minutes.
That's the best way to do it. You see, if you have too much time, I think you'd start thinking more intellectually. Go, well, exactly. I have to have some sort of intellectual author there.
Well, there you go. I got onto H.G. Wells towards the end of the list when I was thinking about it a bit more. Actually, I love H.G. Wells' work, but I probably don't want him knocking about the place. I think he was probably quite a dull man, like all science fiction writers are on the whole. Mm-hmm. You're probably best off just reading their stuff or watching their shows.
and the final question is, what's going to be in your goodie bag that you're going to give to people as a leave?
A CV, a few headshots of me. There's some important people here. I don't know, I'd maybe draw them all a little picture, individual picture. It's always embarrassing when you get these, when you sit on the Come Dine With Me, they give out gifts. It's always a little bit embarrassing, isn't it? I think a little drawing, a nice little drawing, maybe a terrible, I think, I don't want to offend Gozer the Gozerian. I'd maybe just give them a cracker. Everyone loves a cracker, don't they? Like a Christmas cracker.
Right, I wasn't sure if you just meant like a Jacob's.
Yeah, and that as well. It would all pull a posh Christmas cracker each and read the jokes. That would be my little party favour.
That's nice. That's a very bizarro party, but I appreciate the randomness. have you got anything any films, TV that you want to plug, anything coming?
The only thing that's sort of coming along soon is a radio sitcom that was written by my good friend Steve Burge on Radio 4 that I'm in with Matt Horn and Danny Mays. And some other folk. It's very funny. It's called Seekers, set in a job centre. He wrote it before that ITV job centre show came on. It's very different as well. So that's on, yeah, in a couple of weeks. And then everything else that I'm doing isn't out for a while. Edge of Tomorrow, the film, the Tom Cruise film that I was doing, isn't out until June next year. And there's some other bits and bobs as well. But the main thing that's coming on soon is Seekers, Radio 4, which is very funny. It's actually really good.
Gonna ask this, but did you get to meet Tom Cruise?
Yeah, every day. Yeah.
Wow. So was he interesting?
Very interesting. Yeah, I loved him. He really looked after us. Actually, he was a good guy.
I hate the fact that people slag him off because I do like him. I think the Mission Impossible films are brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, the people that do have a go at these people don't really, I don't know why they do it. I can understand if you don't like his film, a film he's been in, then yeah, fine, go for it. But it's very hard to attack someone personally you've never met, isn't it? I always find that strange. And I think we all do it. You can't help yourself. Well, I've just pulled apart Nigel Slater, the poor man. It's really nice. But no, I can vouch for Tom and say he genuinely was brilliant. He really looked after us, was always sort of asking if there's anything he could do for us. And he loves to work, though. That's the thing you get from Tom. He loves to work, loves to film.
Yeah, which, he seems to be doing a lot of films.
Yeah, and he just loves being on set and shooting, which is not the case with every big star, you know. A lot of them are a bit jaded by it and like to knock about in their trailer. You don't get that with him at all. He's always filming and coming up with stuff. Yeah, no, it was great fun. I was working with him for 6 months, so it was... Yeah, it was a really good... It was a hard job, and he looked after us very well, yeah. Did that sound like I was towing a party line then at all?
No, but I was trying to do something where I could end it, not sound so kind of like everyone loves Tom Cruise in the podcast. Because he is cool.
Everyone does love Tom Cruise, Ian. Everyone does, it's the truth.
I like how professional he is, and so when he's on chat shows, and he's always like 100%. He's not just like kind of phoning it in. You know, he really puts a lot of time into it. You know?
Yeah, he's exactly like that with everything. You know, he does his research and... He could exhaust you if you had to work with him forever, because I'm quite a lazy man in general, and he was making me work really hard, which was good. I enjoyed it, but it could exhaust you. But no, he's great. Also Bill Paxton, I was working with on that film, who is a great guy. It was on my list there, potentially, for as a dinner guest, because he's just so entertaining, so funny. He's a little bit like a lot of his characters, big sort of larger than life and very funny. He's a good guy as well.
Is your police officer character from Shaw going to come back? I want him to come back.
You know what? I did that job. Mostly, there were two reasons I did that one line in that. One was because it's Sherlock and it could literally just end, couldn't it, any moment. All it takes is Benedict or Martin or one of the people just to get a film, like The Hobbit nearly killed off Sherlock, didn't it?
Yeah.
So I thought, I could hang around for the next series and see if I could get a better part. And I thought, it might not be another series. Mm-hmm. So I went for it. And secondly, Martin Freeman is an old friend of mine. He's so in demand and away in New Zealand filming. So it was the only chance I could get to have dinner with him. So I went all the way to Cardiff, basically, to have dinner with Martin and just to have Sherlock on my credits was quite nice. It's great down there in Cardiff where they're filming that and Doctor Who and all of that. It's amazing that that's... Because I filmed in Cardiff a bit years ago and there was nothing going on.
Hmm.
And now it's suddenly the hub of all of that stuff, like really interesting TV stuff. But yeah, no, I don't think he's coming back. He might do.
I'm still waiting for your Doctor Who part. You know, that'll happen soon.
I know. I've never been asked, you know. Never even been close. It happened one day.
It has to happen with the Capaldi season, you know, you never know.
No, absolutely, yeah. I don't know when they're starting filming that. It can't be too far away, can it?
They're doing the Christmas specialist with Speak, and I think it's going to start filming early next year, probably about September next year.
I'm free then. I'm free then. I can go and do that.
Fantastic. If anyone's listening.
Is Capaldi coming back? Is Capaldi going to be in the Christmas one? Is there going to be... Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, it's going to be a regeneration. Apparently, it's just going to be the sort of classic end of the episode, blah, right. blah. Yeah. They might mess around with the format, who knows?
Yeah, we've got John Hurt as well, yeah. So that's exciting.
Indeed, the anniversary special. Wow.
Yeah, that's going to be great. I know some things about that, but I can't tell you. That's really teasing, isn't it?
how do you know stuff?
I can't say that either. I can't say how I know or what I know.
Oh, wow. You're full of cryptic messages today, aren't you?
Sorry about that. I shouldn't have said anything.
But thanks again for your time. It's been really fun speaking again, and I wish you luck with all your projects, and you take care, all right?
Cheers. Anytime, Ian.
Time with Ian Todd. with Ian Todd.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye.